reminded you that every word counts. And if you go home with nothing else this morning, I pray to God that you will go home with those three words. Every word counts. We live in a society today where anything goes. People just say things, as I intimated earlier. A few times this week, I've heard a Christian person say, "I'm hopeless." She wasn't without hope. She was just being careless about what she said. And some people say, well, you know, don't be picky, finicky. You're being too careful about it. Well, the Bible does say that by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's not the preacher, that's the Bible. Jesus said, "But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." What did he mean by an idle word when Jesus said that? I looked up in the Greek, in Strong's Concordance, it says the definition of idle is negative, inactive, unemployed, lazy, useless. There are so many words, aren't there, that would fit into that category. Idle words. So many people have said to me, "Well, I was only joking." My response is, joking or not joking, the Bible still says it. It doesn't say if you weren't joking. Every word counts. If we want to see blessing in our life, we must speak words of blessing. If we speak negative words, we're speaking idle words. Words that are useless. Words that are lazy. Negative words will bring on the curse, not the blessing. I want us, for just a short period, to have a look at James chapter 3. I'm reading from the King James Version. Sorry, the New King James Version. If you have an inferior version, then you're allowed to follow along with that. James chapter 3. We'll start at verse 2. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. He's able also to bridle the whole body." We don't speak much these days about bridling. It was something that everyone knew about when they used horses to ride on or to pull a cart. They had to bridle the horse. It had to be clothed, ready for the task. It was covered with a bridle. He is able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in a horse's mouth If you haven't ridden a horse, you've probably seen people who do ride it. They have a bit in the horse's mouth and a rein from each side. And as you pull on one side of the rein, the bit causes the horse's head to turn and its body will follow. You pull on the other one, the head turns and the body follows. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Okay, you've got the picture? A bit in the horse's mouth, it turns the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Now the ship needs a skilled pilot, not an amateur. He needs a captain to turn the rudder so that the ship will go where it is directed. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Kindles? Kindling wood? We don't make many fires today, do we? When I was young, my mum used to ask me to go and make some kindling sticks. I'd get a piece of wood and cut it to maybe 9 or 12 inches long. And then I would get an axe and cut it into small pieces. Because mother wasn't in a habit of putting a match to a shovel of coal. She would put a match to the kindling. She would screw up some newspaper, which is about the only good thing that newspaper is made for. And then she'd put on some kindling. And the kindling was to get the fire going. It gets the fire started. Right? Let's go back a moment. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. It's talking about the tongue here in this chapter. The tongue kindles fire. The tongue is like a bit or a bridle. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. The tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, says James. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Have we got hold of that? It doesn't just defile your name. It doesn't just defile your good reputation. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is set on fire among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. That word course could have been interpreted the word wheel. It sets on fire the wheel of nature, the wheel of things that will follow. It sets on fire. When we were young and we used to have fireworks at home, today they usually organized a firework display. We used to have them at home. And Father would get a nail and put it through the middle of the spinning wheel and nail it to the stable door. And stand back, boys. Put a match, and the wheel would go round and round. And you've seen, I'm sure most of you have seen, the spinning wheel on firework day. Well, here he's saying that the tongue, it sets on fire the course or the wheel as it sets it rolling. Can you see the momentum gathering? As you've got the kindling, lighting the fire. You've got the bridle and the bit steering. And here's the tongue. It sets on fire the whole course or wheel of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. That's what my Bible says. Down the spine it says, Holy Bible. Page 1787. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Men tame animals, don't they? They train horses. They train them. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Oh, haven't we sometimes felt the poison of a tongue? Full of deadly poison. Friends, do I need to remind you that every word counts? With it we bless our God and Father. We like to lift our hands, don't we? And we say, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I will bless his name at all times. My mouth shall continually speak of his goodness. And with it, we curse men. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men. We have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. This is Bible. We will give account of every idle word. I remember not too many weeks ago, I was in a Christian home, and there were Christian visitors in that home, as well as us. And I can't remember how the subject commenced. But someone spoke about people being prayed for healing, and so I had to speak in agreement, in favor, positively about this, that I had experienced it. And I referred to the prayers of a fervent, effectual man. They, of a righteous man, are effective. I referred to James saying that if any of you are sick, he should call for the elders, who will lay hands and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal them. It'll save the sick ones. And one of the Christians said, yes, but it doesn't work like that, does it? And there was only one answer I could give. No, it won't. Because you don't believe it. I didn't add the last bit. That would have been too hard in a private situation, but it would have been true. It won't work if you don't believe it. We could go back and say how James says that if you have any doubts, you're like one of the ships blown about in the harbor with no one to steer it. does a spring, verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water at the same opening? We all know that a spring can't put up both fresh water and salt water. My eldest son lives on a farm that doesn't have mains water, and their taps are fed from a spring. And if the spring is contaminated, the taps are contaminated. But the spring, it cannot bring salt water because it brings fresh water. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works or his words are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, what? If you have bitter envy and self-seeking, this is Bible, in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, he's saying, if you've got envy and boasting, shut your mouth. That's what it is, in short. Don't let it come out of your mouth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, or of the flesh. It is demonic. Jesus called in the Gospels the written word of God was the wisdom of God. Here, James, who grew up in the same household as Jesus, is saying that these are not the wisdom of God when you come out with words from a heart that is full of envy and self-seeking. When we've got jealousy. We know, don't we, that Jesus said that if you're bringing your gift to the altar, if you've got aught against any, don't carry on. Stop. Put it right. Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute. Friends, I have proved with great difficulty that it does work. It does work to pray for those who despitefully use you. It does take the hatred out of your heart if you will pray for someone who's saying things bad against you. You cannot dispel darkness with darkness. You can only dispel darkness with light. Yes? I hope you're keeping up with me. I know it's hot this morning. We do not curse the darkness. We will light a candle and bless those that persecute us, that revile us, that speak lies against us. God is our defender. We don't need to defend ourselves. We will pray for them. There is a city in America that was at one time known as the murder capital of the United States, so I'm told. And a group of Christians decided that they were going to pray woke that city. And as they went round, they blessed the buildings. They blessed the people as they walked round that city. And when they came to a crack house, what did they do? They blessed it. They said, surely you can't bless a crack house. The crack house found that it had no customers. And very soon, that town was the place where Zuckerberg took his, was it Facebook? Where Silicon Valley went to. It became one of the most prosperous places in the United States. And that stemmed back to Christians who would bless the darkness. Speak words of blessing, not cursing. So often we've been encouraged, haven't we, to fight. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't object to that which is wrong. But the battle is the Lord's. We must pray. The Lord will win your battle, either for you or through you. But the wisdom, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Oh, there's so much hypocrisy today amongst Christians. So much. People who are one thing on a Sunday and another thing during the week. Only this week I was told of a farmer who, to cut a long story short, he has a lot of sheep on the fells, the open fell side. Now, sheep on a fell side cannot be imported. They have to be bred on the fell side, or else they would just go away. So they have to be born there, bred there. And there is an agreement that each farmer has to sign and agree to, if he has sheep on that fell, that he will not allow his tup loose upon the fell, because all the farmers have the sheep there. The sheep mingle and mix, and the man that has Swaledale ewes doesn't want somebody else's mongrel tup with his ewes. So they have to have this agreement. Well, it happened during last winter time that a wall fell down that was around the fell. And someone's tup got through the hole in the wall. And a couple of days, or 3 or 4 days later, one of the farmers telephoned this farmer that owned the tup, and he said, "Do you know that your tup has been out on the fell?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I'll come and get it right away." To jump on a few months' time, the farmer that goes to church every Sunday has started a writ against the farmer that doesn't go to church because his tup got on the fell. My Bible says you love your enemies. You bless. You don't sue them for something that they didn't intend to do, that they didn't know was happening. I wonder, is there hypocrisy in my life? I hope not. So often, our lives can have hypocrisy. the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Every word counts. Friends, we can't hope to have health if we speak sickness. We can't hope to have wealth if we speak poverty. My Bible says in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Both are linked together. And the next verse says the same, that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. What is our confession? I trust that today you don't say, I'm hopeless. I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. We have made an agreement in our house. I'm blessed to have married the best woman in the world. And we have made an agreement that we will interrupt each other if we hear them speaking a negative word, because we want to only speak what is positive. And my wife has permission to stop me if I'm speaking negative. Friends, this morning I invite you to speak the blessing upon your own life and upon the life of others. To receive when you believe. Believe and receive, or doubt and go without. It's not just a cliche. It's a fact of life. Just like I had to believe when I received anointing for angina. Well, I received anointing for health, actually, to dispel angina. And more than 10 years later, there isn't a trace. There have been days when something like indigestion or whatever, I don't know what it was, would come along and the devil would, David, are you sure that you've been healed from angina? Yes, I'm sure. I received it by faith. And my Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. And it goes. Because I believe. Don't let go of your blessing. Keep hold of it. Don't go by feelings. I believe, I believe, I believe. How long do you believe? Until Jesus comes again. Keep believing, and you will receive. Shall we pray together? Living God, we thank you this morning that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Thank you that we can walk in the blessing because we are redeemed. We are not under the curse. We receive the word of truth. And we accept Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Father, we receive that this morning. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thank you that you promised to Abraham, "In blessing I will bless you. In blessing I will bless you." We receive it this morning as our right. We receive it this morning as our inheritance, because we are the redeemed. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Lord. We believe and receive in Jesus' name. I am reminded that